Good morning. This morning's scripture is Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. If you'd like to put it up for me, Stephen, please. Thank you. In this morning's reading, we meet a group of people who are having one of those days. Nobody's on top of the world every day. Everyone has ups and downs. Sometimes the world is sweet, and sometimes it's sour. Sometimes life moves along briskly, we accomplish what we set out to do, and we meet our personal goals. And then sometimes things get stuck, we look failure in the face day after day. We don't know how to get out of what we don't know how we got into. Life seems to come to a halt, and it's times like those, one of those days just seems to keep going on. This morning we meet three discouraged men. Well, four actually, if you count Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. They were fishermen, but not as a hobby like we think of fishermen today. They weren't just sitting on the banks of a river teaching worms to swim. These men were professional fishermen whose work and living depended upon their skills, whose families went hungry if there was no catch. But this day was a particularly bad day for this group of fishermen. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. Now it was daytime, the day after the night of failure, and the men were washing their nets, getting ready for the next night's work. And there was a large crowd on the beach near where they were working. A large crowd, and the crowd were listening to Jesus. Although our fishermen were not disciples of Jesus at this time, they had met him before when they were associated with John the Baptist. In fact, he'd been to Simon Peter's house and cured his mother-in-law of a high fever. But this day, many people were on the lakeside with Jesus, crowding in on him. Our four fishermen were probably listening to him as they washed their nets. But as Jesus was stood in the water, out a little way from the crowd, the crush was getting so great he was in danger of being overwhelmed. So Jesus steps into Peter's boat and says, "Put out a little way from the shore." And Peter does. And from the boat, Jesus continues to teach the crowds. And finally, he's done. The crowd go home, and Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for the catch." And that was really quite bold of Jesus. He's a landlubber, and he's telling professional fishermen how to do their business. Very bold, really. And Peter answers immediately by explaining the facts of life to him. "It won't do any good," he says. "We've worked all night and we've caught nothing. There's no point to it." Have you ever been there? You do your best, you work hard, and the results are zero. An important relationship goes sour and there's nothing you can do. You watch a marriage dissolve and you can't save it. The project you've worked upon just won't pan out. The harder you try, the less you produce. Have you ever been in that place where everything within you says, "Oh, just give up"? Well, I have. And the last thing you want to hear, the last thing you need to hear when you're in this problem, are the words, "Just try harder." Peter and Andrew, James and John, they were not stupid men. They knew the lake and the ledges where the fish congregated and the kind of weather you have to bring in a good catch. Their families had been working the lake for generations. They knew the time of to fish and where to fish, and they had gone fishing at the right time and at the right place and still come up empty. Then Jesus comes up and says, "Try over there in the deep water. Let your nets down for a catch." The fishermen couldn't believe what they were hearing. But a tired and fed up Peter grudgingly says, "Master, we've worked all night long and we've done everything we should have done, everything we were taught by our fathers and their fathers before them, and we've caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." Why Peter agrees to row out into the deeper water, we'll never know. Perhaps he did it because he was learning to trust Jesus. Perhaps he did it to humour him. Or perhaps it was something about Jesus, in Jesus' tone of voice. But whatever the reason, Peter agrees to do what Jesus asks of him. And we all know the story from here. They threw out the nets from Peter's boat and engulfed such a great shoal of fish with them that the nets began to break. Indeed, they caught so many fish that when John and James came alongside and helped load the boats, both boats began to sink. It was an amazing catch. It was a catch made in deep water. A catch taken where there shouldn't have been a catch. A catch taken at a time of day when there should have been no fish. Now this is where we should talk about how we're all called to be soul catchers. How, like Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, we're called to leave everything behind. All our ordinary concerns and worries, and our frets and our cares, and to focus on winning people for God. And that's a good message. But instead of focusing on that message, I want us to look this morning at the catch of fish and the fact behind it and what the whole episode might suggest about how we live our lives. I want us to remember something today. I want us to remember the first thing that Simon Peter said to Jesus. He said, "Master, we've worked all night, hard all night, and we haven't caught anything." So what Simon Peter was saying to Jesus in effect was, "I know my business, we've tried it, we've worked all night, nothing happened, so what's the point?" And there's no doubt that, like Peter, we know our business, and sometimes we know it too well. We know when our child doesn't yet have the skills or knowledge and is not old enough to do a particular job or enjoy a particular responsibility. We know when our brother's too busy for us to ask him for a favour, or our neighbour doesn't care to help, or that we ourselves aren't talented enough to do what everyone's asking us to do. I certainly know in my own experience that as I'm getting older and arthritis is taking hold, I find that I can't bend down like I used to do, and I find my fingers are getting far too stiff to grip and feel like they used to. And the result is I can't do the maintenance jobs around the house, and I have to get the assistance of tradesmen, and I have to pay them. And that really frustrates me, especially when the job is plumbing or heating, as that's the skill I was trained to do. But I know that if I attempt these jobs, and I find it really, I really cannot do them, then I'll be in real trouble. I know that if I attempt to put a new tap washer in a tap, and I can't achieve it, we are going to be living in a house full of water. We know these things about ourselves and about others. And what happens? We feel frustrated. We feel alone. We feel inadequate. We believe that what's being asked of us as individuals or as part of a group will not work out. We just don't want to try again. We don't want to risk one more disappointment, one more failure. But then there are some people whose lives are miserable because for years they've refused to risk such failure and such disappointment. They have the resources, but they don't use them. They have the skills, but don't develop them. They have dreams, but they don't follow them. They have gifts, but don't share them. They know what it is. They know their business, and they're not about to be instructed by anyone else in how to do it. They know who they are, who the others are, what the situation is, but they're locked in by that knowledge, afraid to risk, afraid to reach out, afraid to go beyond the familiar, because in the end, they know how things will work out. They know how they always work out. They know that there's no point in doing what's being asked of them. They know there's no point going beyond the place where the fish are normally caught, because there's nothing in the normal places. Then how much is there going to be in the places where fish are never caught? Put out into deep water and let down your nets. Well, that's all very well for Jesus, but we tried our best all night. We tried and it didn't work. But interestingly, the next part of it is a more important part, because Peter then says, "Because you say so, I'll do as you've asked me, even though I know it's pointless and know it won't work. Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." But what's the point? The point is this. Sometimes we need to be stimulated by someone who lives outside our frame of reference. Sometimes we need to listen to another point of view. Sometimes we need to risk one more failure, to go and do what our common sense tells us cannot be done and try what we know will not work. Sometimes we just need to head out into the deep water, let down our nets for no better reason than that Jesus has asked us to do it. Jesus didn't come simply to make each one of us into some kind of spiritual fisherman, going out to catch souls with a line of faith so that they could be displayed in some heavenly trophy case. No, he came so that each one of us might have an abundant life, a life full and rich, a life in which we know and experience and share the love of God, a love which conquers the sting of death and ensures that in the end our labours are not in vain, no matter how many days our nets have come up empty. To achieve that life, we have to do one thing. We have to recognise that our knowledge and our experience are not equal to that of God. We have to recognise that God's ways are indeed better than ours, that his wisdom is greater, his timing better, and his counsel more life-giving than our own. As Simon Peter acknowledged in his own way in today's text, that God is greater than him, and he is in need of God's grace and God's love. So then, too, we must acknowledge our need of God and God's ability and a desire to meet that need. Now, our nets may come up empty for many days in a row, but if we're open to God, if we're willing to listen and try the new things he suggests, if we're willing to venture out into the deep water, or simply if we are willing, because he asks us to do over and again some of the things we've tried before and given up on, then our nets will in the end be filled. And filled so abundantly that our very nets will threaten to break and our boats will begin to sink. God is able to speak through us, even though we are sinful people. God is able to make our nets overflow, even though we failed before. And God is able to bring good news to the world through our labour. God is able and willing to help us. God is able and God calls us to share the message. The message that through listening to him and following him, there can come abundance when where before there was nothing. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me is not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." God's grace makes all things new. It makes us who we are supposed to be. We need to listen to the instructions that God gives us, here in the scriptures and here in our own hearts, and all will be better than we can imagine. If we listen to the world's advice, if we rely upon our own wisdom, there's a grave danger that we'll miss what God has for us. We need to venture out into the deep waters. For if we just do as God commands, we will have such a harvest that we'll have to call others to help. Let us seek and ask God for his direction in our lives and in our church, and let us listen to what he says to us. But most importantly, we must do it. Just as he says, just when he says, we must do it. Amen.